episode 41, and it's another morning recording, which is always a little bit dangerous to drink alcohol with your coffee in the morning.
I was not expecting this, by the way. I did not eat breakfast. This could be a fun little podcast here.
Just like Bulletproof, but different.
You might feel bulletproof.
Yeah, right. Well, we'll try not to drink that much. We are going to talk about, or talk through actually, dialing in a mystery coffee. So like when you get a coffee, what do you need to do to really achieve the optimal brew of that particular coffee? We have an episode we did a year and a half ago just about dialing in the parameters you use, but we're actually going to use those today and record the process of dialing in a coffee. Before we do that, I was inspired watching other people's social media feeds this week about what they were drinking with their family and friends, and what I realized is you should always take what you like to drink with you for the holidays. Because if you don't, you might get stuck with a weird array of stuff and just kind of left to make the most of it. So what I have today is, assuming you have basically two options. Your dad went out and got New Belgium Fat Tire, just a standard beer for everybody. And that's okay. Like, it could be worse.
It's a pretty good standard beer.
Yeah, okay. Maybe I just brought the most standard beer I had. Maybe we aren't the best judges of standard beer.
It's good. It's a good mix.
And then let's say your crazy uncle meant to get Irish whiskey, and he tried to go discount and accidentally bought Irish whiskey liqueur, like the Knot, which I actually did on accident. I made a boo-boo. I meant to get something different, and I did not realize that this was a liqueur until after I bought it. So it's been sitting in my cabinet for the better part of 6 months now. So, first we're going to taste this. I don't know if Christian's tasted this.
Well, I've had the Knot before.
All right, we're gonna describe it on air.
It's a good holiday liqueur. I've had it.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Well, we'll taste it, and then we'll say, how can we make this better? That's the challenge this morning. It's super viscous. It reminds me of cough medicine, which is why I don't like it.
It tastes very different than the last time I tasted it, and the first time I tasted it. It kind of tastes like grain alcohol with a little bit of vanilla, and it makes you believe that it is whiskey because it's colored in it, but it totally smells like grain alcohol.
And
if you want a reference point, there's some down there.
We may or may not have a bottle of Everclear right next to us. For science only.
It was for science purposes.
So that's going to be the picture for today's episode. A bottle of the Knot sitting next to a bottle of Everclear. So we have some cough medicine here, masquerading as a whiskey beverage. All right. So now the challenge is how to make it taste better. So one option is you can make a festive beer.
Festive beer.
Quote unquote festive beer. So we can mix some New Belgium in with the Knot and see what happens. It's a cocktail. It's a glorified cocktail. So, and I got the idea for trying this when we were
This is Georgia's idea.
Yeah,
it totally is.
When we were in Guatemala, we had Gallo, which is the beer in Guatemala, and it's, you know, like a PBR, basically.
Yeah, it's like PBR Schlitz. It's just your basic Pilsner-ish beer. It's beer. It tastes like beer.
Then we had a bottle of 23-year-old rum.
It's Ron Zacapa.
So
it's delicious.
How might you make that beer better? Well, you put the rum in it, and it didn't make it better. Also stronger. All right, so now we have beer and the Knot. And this is like a 1 to 5, 1 to 4. That's not better.
It tastes like candy. With a little bit of wheat on the end. No, that's...
That's not better.
Yeah, the reason the bourbon...
It messes up the beer.
Yeah, the reason the bourbon and the rum works is because there's actual barrel flavors. So there's those distillates that are kind of layering in. This is just like sugar water.
Additives.
It's like... fake caramel.
It does something to me at the end too, which is disgusting. Like, and I can't really nail it down. Beer and the knot doesn't work. What if you went for a festive coffee beverage though? A festive Irish coffee. So let's dump this out. We have some coffee here. So assuming when you're home for the holidays, somebody has a dark roast, that's probably likely. We pulled some dark roast out of our cafe, our French roast, and we're going to mix that in. Got some milk too, because if I'm ever drinking a coffee cocktail, I like it to be milky.
About the same ratio?
Yeah. All right. Now a little bit of milk for me.
Let's taste it first.
All right. So we'll taste it without the milk.
Tastes like flavored coffee.
Yep, it does.
Like a bad flavored coffee.
Yeah, it does.
It's like chemicalness.
Yeah,
that's weird. That is weird. It's good to know for the people that like those flavored coffees.
just add some alcohol. All right, I'm gonna add some milk to try and take the edge off. So I think this will help. It does help. It's still not great. It still has the chemicalness. It's like drinking hairspray or
it's coffee that burns going down too.
Fingernail polish remover. So, moral of the story is you cannot make the knot taste good. If you guys have a solid recipe for this, I would appreciate it. Otherwise, it's likely going to end up in Jason's cabinet. Christian had one other idea.
Yeah, when I was down in Kentucky, Ohio this past weekend, someone was talking to me about this really tasty bourbon cream liqueur, which I'm not a huge fan of. It's pretty much the same thing as Bailey's, but using bourbon. So if you have some of this, you mix it with a little bit of milk, half and half, or cream would be even better. We like things rich and buttery here in Wisconsin. This is all right.
It is all right. Yep.
Put a little bit of like fresh grated cinnamon on there, or some allspice. Mm-hmm, they cover up a lot of that.
Yeah. This is the most tolerable thing. Beer didn't work. Coffee didn't work. But just straight milk actually kind of evens it out. Delicious. All right, so we're going to dial in a coffee. First things first, make sure you got your tools, right? The variables, we talked about all those things. You got scales, grinder, water, and then you should probably have a filter. You should probably have a brew method. And actually, Christian, I'm going to throw an audible at you. You can't use the V60. We're going to use the Gino dripper, because I know you, like, never brew with that. So we're going to use... You haven't brewed
that's,
much.
That's fair. That's fair.
So, we have a mystery coffee and then a brewer that Christian's not super familiar with. He's grabbing that. And Christian is going to walk us through getting that coffee dialed in. As we set this up, one other tool that would be dope if you had, which is kind of hard to come across or pay for, is a TDS meter, TDSometer. And this measures the amount of dissolved solids in your final coffee beverage. Technically called a refractometer. Ours is from VST Incorporated.
Nope. What you are holding there, my friend, is a spectrometer.
Well, it says on it, coffee refractometer.
It's a spectrometer, though.
But why does it say refractometer?
I don't know. If it's a spectrometer, the refractometer connects two probes. It's electrical current. Spectrometer shoots beams of light. That's a little lens on there. It's optical.
So they don't even know what they're talking about?
Yeah, it's common words. Spectrometer, refractometer.
Whatever. This is going to tell us how much hard things is in the coffee. What's the proportion of dissolved solids in the final brewed beverage? And normally we'd shoot for...
I like to be somewhere around 1.3 to 1.5. I like my coffee a little stronger.
Yeah.
SCAA, Specialty Coffee Association of America range, is anywhere between 1.15, 1.35. But I like that 1.4, 1.5. I like a nice heavy body.
I like
to 1.5,
yep.
Tastes a lot going on. I will say another tool that you could have if you're bringing lots of different coffees at home is a notebook. Because what you can do is you can kind of observe what the coffee looks like. It'll get you kind of a sense for what dose you should use. Because if you're going to brew a light roast, a medium roast, a dark roast, you can alter your dose a little bit. And as you get used to brewing like Ethiopia's or Kenya's or Costa Rica's, if it's a similar roast in a similar region, it's going to use kind of the same variables. So if you log all of those, you can just look back like, hey, what did I use for that Kenya? Okay, cool. Let's use that next time, as opposed to just winging it.
We have this mystery coffee here, Christian. And what are you going to do first to try and figure out, hey, how am I going to...
So the first thing...
dose first.
Yeah, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm just going to use my standard dose. You got to start somewhere. And the dose I'm most familiar with on pour-overs is 24 grams in, 360 grams out, and I'm going to estimate my grind size. I know I want my brew time to be somewhere around 3 minutes 30 seconds-ish, so I'm just going to pick somewhere on this grinder and hope for the best. And then we can make an adjustment based on if it's too long, too short. So when you're first dialing in a brew, you also should have a timer nearby. If you have one of those fancy scales from Hario, you have a timer built in, or Barista. Mm-hmm. They have timers built in, which is really cool.
Or Kaya as well.
Yep.
So if you're brewing a pour, most pour overs start with a pretty fine grind. Not uber fine, but somewhere between medium and uber fine.
We talked about grind size back a handful of episodes ago. I'm sure we did, talking about brewing methods, but this is a flat bottom filter. Mm-hmm. It's kind of got a tall-ish column in there, so it's kind of like a hybrid between a cone and a pour and a flat bottom. But flat bottoms take more of a coarse grind, otherwise it doesn't let the water drain through, whereas a cone, you're trying to you're trying to trap the water using the grind. So this one probably takes like a medium to, medium, probably true medium grind. So I've chosen a grind which is set to our number 4, so kind of in the middle of our range. So we'll see what happens off of this. Again, 24 grams in, 360 grams of water out.
So did the perceived roast level, should that impact any of your initial steps?
Typically, I like to dose a little bit higher for a darker roast, just because I know there's less flavor compounds or less desirable flavor compounds in those darker roasts. It's kind of counterintuitive to think you could probably down-dose a light roast, but it is true. Although there's good flavor in a light roast, so you might want to up it.
Yeah, I think I would have recommended the exact opposite, just because a dark roast is so soluble. Like, it tastes so strong. And if I was to have a dark roast, I'd almost want it to be weaker, because I don't like the carbon. Whereas with the light roast, I like to get the zing. If it's got acidity, I want all of it. Like, nothing is worse to me. There's a coffee shop I used to go to in Madison, and they would seemingly underdose all of their pour-overs. They were great with their espresso, really solid stuff, used great coffee, and then underdosed their pour-overs where it all tasted like tea. Now, that's okay if certain coffees taste like tea, but not all of them always, so that was just very frustrating to me. But whatever. So I'd up-dose the light, I'd down-dose the dark. This looked pretty medium. I ate a bean.
So what you'll notice when you're dialing in, if your grind is too fine, the bed will just kind of sit there. The water will just sit in the brew chamber, and it won't drain through quick enough. So I'm already at a minute 45, and you can see it's just kind of stalling out. I'm at 200 grams. It's definitely going to be a little fine for what you need to do, but always taste it as you're going through it. Learn from it. You can only learn from your mistakes.
And then unless you make an appropriate adjustment. All right, so the brew's over.
Yeah. So it went a little long.
How long did it go?
It went for like 4:30. And you can also see, if you look in the grinds here.
Still very wet.
Still very wet. It says it hasn't drained through very well. I expect this to be a little bitter. But let's taste it.
Then we'll run this thing through the refractospector. Yeah, it's a little bitter. It's got a lot of papery.
It's over-extracted.
Quite. Well, he was running a low dose, so he pulled 1.57 TDS. We're shooting for 1.4 to 1.5, and he was using a very small dose. Like, with that kind of dose, a really good brew should probably be about 1.4. you know, to get a higher TDS, there's two things you can do. Grind finer and over-extract your beans, or you up your dose. And we did not up our dose.
And if you grind fine and you over-extract, you're going to notice this kind of, like, long aftertaste on your tongue. It's kind of slightly bitter, almost like sawdusty.
Like in an envelope.
Yeah. And a lot of bad grinders will leave this regardless of what you do. So just know, like, the quality of your grinder really does matter here.
It's a good coffee in there, though.
Yeah.
Can't wait till we get it right. So you ground too fine.
All right, so you're going to go coarser.
Right. And to be fair, he did grind too fine. It was on the finer end of medium.
It's for radio. We don't need to know this.
Oh, yeah. Right, but so they know. So you're setting the grind this time, like, in the exact middle of your grinding spectrum?
What I'll do, especially if I'm working with a new grinder, is I'll probably go make a big adjustment just to see what that does, and then try to find the happy place between the two of them.
Happy place.
The happy place. So I'm going to go, we were at a 4. I'm going to move it up to, let's say, 10.
Okay. While he sets this, keep in mind your variables. Remember, water, good water, filtered. You want to make sure that it is the right temperature. There is somebody watching us through the door. Nice. I get creeps. So 195 degrees to 205 degrees. What do you want your water temperature to be? You want a good grinder, ideally. Something that will grind consistently, because that's going to impact how you brew. Then you got to get your grind right, which is what we're working on. You got to match your grind to the filter, and the filter has to be matched to the brew method. Good coffee. Fresh, roasted coffee from a good roaster. All right, starting the second brew with a coarse grind.
Coarser. Being a new brew method, I have not really played around with this a whole ton. So I wager that most people out there don't have this Geno Dripper, but it is actually a pretty cool brew method.
I really like it.
Pretty underrated. It's double-walled glass, so it insulates really well, so it probably keeps the brew temperature better than anything else I've seen in the actual brew area. It takes Kalita filters, which is kind of a pain in the butt because they're really expensive.
You can buy, actually, we have them in the cafe, not neutral Geno filters for $7. So it's less expensive than the Wave filters, actually.
If you're a coffee geek, that's just, you know, normal pain.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so we're definitely draining through faster this time, which is good.
Same dose.
I could take it all the way up to the top, but I don't like doing that. I like setting my bed, like, in the middle of the filter. Setting your bed is just industry terms or industry slang for that's as high as we're going to pour it in the filter, so it's like halfway
right. And everybody's a little bit different. Our lead barista will practically fill his, especially if he's brewing for multiple people, will basically fill his Chemex or his V60
makes
or whatever.
Me nervous. So I thought that I'd overcorrected here, but we're at 318, 360, and it looks like it's about to drain out, so...
Wow, so it's still a long brew.
It's still a long brew.
That may just be the method. Which, if you have a long brew, that's not necessarily a bad thing if your grind is nice and coarse, because it'll hold up to the long brew a little bit better. Like, you'll rarely have a Chemex brew faster than 4 minutes.
I remember when I first came over to the factory, we had 2 or 3 Chemexes hanging around here, and no one liked brewing in them.
Because
I always did, like, a V60 grind on it. It's like, it never tastes right. I'm like, guys, you're doing it wrong. It takes a coarse grind, because that paper is really thick.
Yeah, it's really thick.
Had to brew it a couple times, like, oh, okay, I get it. That's weird.
I'm curious to... So the other one, what was the brew time? Oh, holy crap.
Yeah, that's weird.
So brew time was basically exactly the same. So the benefit... This has probably got a lower TDS than the first one we pulled, which was 1. What did
I? It was 1.57.
Okay, so that's probably going to be better though. This time, it'll be lower, but it will taste better because the coarser grind will hold up better to prolonged exposure to water than that fine grind, which is super volatile. Finer grind.
That tastes thinner. Rounder. Crumblier. A little sweeter. Definitely thin.
Yeah, it's definitely thin.
115. They'll probably come to like 1.2. It's It's right at 1-2.
All right, so we're 1-2.
So if you like your coffee not so strong, this is actually a really good brew for you.
Because it's pretty clean.
It's pretty clean. So two things we could do at this point. So we know that we have a little bit of backup, but it may just be this filter. We haven't experimented too much with it. We like the overall roundness of it. Like, it doesn't taste over-extracted.
Mm-mm.
So the two things we could do is we could fine the grind a little bit, or we could add a little bit more coffee.
Yeah, I want to do that.
I want to add a little more coffee to it as well.
I mean, because I don't want to increase the brew time beyond 3.5 where it's at right now, or 4 almost. Like, that's pretty long already. So if we want to get a stronger flavor, adding coffee should set us up pretty well. So
it's really nice floral to this coffee.
Whatever it is.
Sticking.
Some good old whatever it is. Brew one, hopefully, final time. And for some people, it's like, what? Like, you got to brew your coffee 3 times to figure it out, man? Like, yeah, you kind of do, like, to really get a feel for what is in the coffee. Like, if you're just looking for a hot drink with caffeine, no, you don't have to. No big deal. But if you really want to get a coffee in the money zone, taking the time with it's really important.
That's why grabbing that notebook that I talked about at the beginning of the podcast is important. Because if you... like me, I wouldn't be like ambitious enough to brew 3 cups of coffee in the morning. I'm just going to drink it and like, well, I could do better tomorrow. But if I keep my parameters, I can fix it for the next day. All right, so I'm going to go up 4 grams.
So 28?
Yeah.
And that's actually what I normally brew the V60 at home. I like 28 grams 360 out. That normally gets me about 1.6 TDS on a V60. Since we're running 1.2, I think we're going to get like 1.35.
The filter there. Look at all the water. It's getting caught up in there.
Interesting. That's interesting. But we'll see what happens. As we near Christmas, just a quick plug. We sell all this stuff. You can get it from us. And then insider tip for those of you who listen to the podcast. Starting mid-December, we'll have 20% off e-commerce orders. So you can get the non-neutral Gino, kettles and stuff, everything you need to do what we're doing except the refractometer. Sorry. You can get it on there for 20% off, so you should probably do that. It'd be awesome. Just follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you'll get the deets. Starting the third brew, 28 grams, same grind we ran last time. I like the way this brew method blooms. Like, V60 is really hard to get a consistent round bloom, and I just, like, the bloom is very satisfying to me when it goes well.
So, interesting thing about the bloom is it will tell you if your coffee is fresh or not. It's a nice little tip if you end up at your relatives. You're like, yeah, I got this coffee. I don't really remember when I bought it. If you put some water on the coffee as you're starting to brew it and it doesn't raise up, it's telling you that there's no more carbon dioxide inside that coffee. It's probably stale. Your fix on that is you can updose. Add a little bit more coffee. It'll taste better. It won't taste great, but it'll taste better.
Yeah. And if you don't remember from previous episodes, to bloom a coffee... you put the coffee in your filter, and then you add somewhere between 30 and 70 grams, depending on your brew method, to saturate the grounds, to prep it for brewing, really to help it absorb water and get ready for normal brewing. If you just add water, like, all the grounds are going to saturate unevenly and then brew a little bit unevenly. Interesting thing, because blooming doesn't seem that important until you don't do it. Like, to taste a bloomed brew next to a non-bloomed brew, then you'll be like, oh, I get it. Yep, this first coffee is a little bit more even, a little bit more acidic in a good way. Like, you get a little bit brighter, cleaner acidity with a bloom than without a bloom.
This is looking pretty good.
Jamming. Good vibe. So this is the third and final brew, hopefully, right? We've been brewing with the Not Neutral Gino Dripper, which is a double-walled glass manual brew method. It's pretty awesome. A little finicky, though. And we don't know what coffee we're brewing. All right, so the third brew is done.
It's better.
measuring a TDS of 1.34. What, you used a 28-gram dose, right?
Yeah.
1.35. So that's kind of in the money zone for the SCAA. And it's hot. Like, we should wait for it to cool off, too. Because if it's clean and it's hot, like, it's not going to have the pronounced acidity that it will when it cools. So it is still clean, which is great. And it is a little bit more full than the last one. You could updose if you like really strong coffee, but I think for most specialty coffee drinkers, this one's going to be money. And I do get a lot more fruit going on in my palate. And yours may be a little dull after the Mucinex and the wheezing.
I'm willing to take that.
Which, it's not often I get to tell Christian that his palate is dull. So
yeah, it's better now that I have a couple days off and recoup than getting sick when you go to Origin. That's the worst. You go 2 days worth of cupping, you're like, this kind of feels good. It kind of feels right.
I don't know if this coffee is good or bad.
Roll your dice and make sure you're really well trained. Oh, we got some. You know, I might mess with the brew method a little bit more. Like, take it all the way up as opposed to setting the bud halfway. You reduce the agitation.
Maybe so.
So, maybe, but we can save that.
Save it for what? For next time?
For another day, because we're getting caffeinated.
Two other things you could do to take this one step farther. For the sake of time, we won't. Add more coffee. So, we added 4 grams, and that took us from 1.2 to 1.34. So you add 2 to 3 more grams, and that's going to potentially get us in the 1.5 range, a little bit more full. And then the other thing Christian mentioned is to mess with your water flow rate. So pour in at different volumes. That would actually increase the pressure of the water on the grounds, so your pass-through rate may actually increase.
So I'd recommend using the same process for using a Mr. Coffee or any kind of automatic machine as well. You're never going to get it right on the first try, but always mess with it, play with it a little bit. You can really dial in a better tasting coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So, bonus points. So, see if you can guess what this is.
Except
we both know, don't know. This is blind.
And it's hard to tell because it's brewed completely different than I would normally brew our coffees, which is in the V60 or the Chemex. It's pretty slick on the mouthfeel, and it's really clean regardless how we brewed it, which makes me think it's Columbia atypical.
It has some malic acidity to it. I think the atypical is a little bit more floral.
There's
a floral in this, but it's a different kind of floral. And there's a little bit of nuttiness that I think is Costa Rica, but I want to try it one more time.
Yeah, if it is Costa Rica, it's Green Dragon.
A lava flow?
No, maybe lava flow. Green Dragon may be a little fruitier.
Yeah, I think it was lava flow. It just has a kind of lingering body that a honey would have.
So what do we got? What is it?
It is.
Big moment.
Green Dragon. Well, it's closer.
We don't know our copy.
Well, that's an interesting thing about a brew method. It really does change the way it tastes. We're both used to drinking either Chemexes or V60s, which are kind of like really in your face,
mm-hmm.
high acidity. And I think this Goleta is a little more balanced,
mm.
which most flat bombs can be. Mm-hmm. So,
and every little variable you change impacts your coffee in kind of tremendous ways. For everywhere from picking all the way through brewing, like tiny changes in variables impact the final beverage immensely. So it is what it is. Thanks for that idea, Justin. Justin Robb, we appreciated it. It was fun. Good times. Good luck on your brewing. You're dialing in. If you have questions about it, please email us, podcast@stonecreekcoffee.com. Reach out to us on the socials at Stone Creek Coffee on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Leave us a review on iTunes if you wouldn't mind. Be a doll and do that. That makes us look good, and that's important to us, as narcissistic as we are. So Christian, this morning, thought we were supposed to be dialing in espresso, which is cool, because that's fun, and we've never done an episode about dialing in espresso. So next time we do the podcast, we will be dialing in espresso. So we're also going to dial it in on this piece of crap.
This is an $80 Target machine that my mom picked up for me probably 10 years ago. 8 years ago at a Goodwill. It was sitting in my Goodwill pile, and we said dial in. So I'm like, let's try it again. Let's see what happens.
Dialing in espresso. Both on a big, nice Nuovo Simonelli, super awesome espresso bar, and then on a piece of crap machine from Goodwill. We've talked about getting good espresso out of your home equipment. This time you're going to listen to us actually do it, because we like these participative episodes. Moving from the theoretical to the practical, that's important. So check back with us in 2 weeks. When that episode goes live, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to see when you can watch us record that episode on Facebook Live, which might actually be a thing. Till next time, we are geeks.
And we are talking coffee.